Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
So what are you doing back?
Well, I sat back and thought about the things we used to do. It really meant a lot to me. You mean a lot to me.
I really mean that much to you?
Girl, you know it's true.
And when you pass your smile and everything you do, don't you understand, girl, this love is you're hanging on, sweet and thin. That's kinda like a button up on your skin. It lightens up my day, and that's also true. Together we are one, separated we are two. My emotions start when I hear your name, making your sweet, sweet voice but ringing my ears, stimulate my girl when you are here. Come with your positive emotion, love making enjoy. That's no need to fuss. It's like a girl in a boy. These feelings I keep, I often wonder why. So I thought I might just this girl, just you and I. Know what you wear, and I don't care how you look. Never more so reason that I like the girl. Give me what you are. You my favorite, think about it. You're my world, just try to understand. I'm in love, girl.
Okay, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. That was Milli Vanilli. And some of you teenagers out there, like myself, remember the Milli Vanilli situation that developed where the whole thing was a fake. The music, the guys, but they had us all dancing to a tune, and we looked forward to hearing it. And I mean, the airwaves would be burning up. You couldn't turn on the radio without hearing Milli Vanilli. But as it was revealed, in a concert, live concert, the tape was stuck, and so history is there now to show that they were actually a fake group. They didn't actually sing, and so they went spiraling down. So what does that have to do with today's show? Well, we're going to be talking about the Hawaiian Humane Society and some of the dealings that they've done, and we're going to not cast stones, but we will just remind you of Milli Vanilli, and you draw your own conclusions. And we're going to be talking about a situation. As you know, we've talked many times about the Hawaiian Humane Society and the Humane Society of the United States and others that have in the business of protecting animals and people's interests and what have you. And sometimes they fall short. So in this case, we'll title this as the title of an article, Where is Rex? And it involves a lady and a man, Mr. and Mrs. Pettigill or Terzak, Elizabeth Terzak, and they had a dog. Ms. Terzak had a dog, and somehow it had found its way at the Humane Society, and it was adopted out to another family. And we're going to give the details, and you, if you want to go and get yourself an extra cup of coffee, because I think you're going to find this quite interesting. It's unimaginable what has developed, and there on the line here I have Ms. Liz Rizzo, who wrote an article for the Examiner online newspaper, examiner.com. And I have in the studio Ms. Elizabeth Treziak and her husband, Patrick, and also Ms. Pam Davis from Animal Advocate, Inc. here in Honolulu. So good morning, all of you, and thank you for joining me.
Good morning, Carol. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning,
Alrighty.
Everyone.
Yes, thank you for joining me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. And if you could, Elvita, I'll allow you to share with the listeners briefly what happened. How do we get to this point? And we'll talk in greater detail.
Where do you want me to start?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what happened, I went to Kenya to raise some money for homeless children.
Mm-hmm.
And I left two of my German shepherds, Rex and Nell, in the care of my ex-boyfriend. I left all the documents with him, like the original microchip registration, the quarantine forms, and as well as authorization written on paper saying that he was in charge. And when Rex and Nell ended up at the Hawaiian Humane Society, I was informed via email that that's what was happening. So I panicked, and I sent a signal, basically, to my ex-boyfriend to call me back. That's what I used to do, and he called me back, and I begged him, please, I don't know what happened exactly, but just please go to Humane Society and make sure Rex is home with you again. And so he said, I'm going to do that. And he went there. And they didn't want to even talk to him, so he made kind of like a scene there with the supervisor. So they finally let him see Rex, and he petted him, and he told him that he's coming back, and he's just gonna bring some documents, because that's what Humane Society is asking me to bring.
So you were on a trip, on a fundraising and efforts in Africa, and you left your dogs with a friend here.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it ended up in the hands, the Rex ended up in the hands of care of the Humane Society, and they adopted it out. Now, let's go to the details of it. Pam, well, you want to set us on the path here with what went on originally?
Yes. Well, we had a meeting on December 14th at the Humane Society. I was asked to attend by Elsbieta, and the meeting was called by the Hawaiian Humane Society. And at that meeting, Keone Vaughn sat there and attempted to explain how Rex, who is registered with microchip identification from the National Avid Petrak database, was unable to be reunited with his lawful owner, Elsbieta.
And so, where you come in, and we're going to go for a while here, but your involvement is what? And you wrote an article for the Examiner. And how did that come about, and you eventually pull that article? Can you give us the greater details of that?
Yes, absolutely. I was contacted by the Humane Society, Jackie LeBlanc. Yes, this is Liz Rizzo, just to reiterate. And I was pretty busy with some things in my personal life. And I, out of the clear blue, here's a story that had been going on for some time, which was surprising to me because the Humane Society normally works with me with news. They send me news events. And this was something that I had heard of. But they wanted me to get the facts straight, help them get the facts corrected, that a woman named Miss Imes, she's another examiner, had written a story about Rex, and they felt that it was inflammatory and incorrect in many ways. So they basically wanted me to set the story straight for the Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me also to meet with Elsbieta and hear the other side.
So when you say set, they wanted you to set the record straight. And in your article, did it set the record straight?
Here we go.
Well,
you know, at this point, I don't think it's still confusing, I think, to myself. Well, a lot less to myself. Confusing on what's happened at the Humane Society is, I think, more of what's going on. But I think to the public, it's still, you know, a debatable topic because there are so many twists and turns. But basically, bottom line, I feel strongly on this subject. And in answer to your question, settling it was a matter of correcting what had been said against them that they felt was untrue.
Said again, okay, about, and then you actually pulled the article that you wrote.
I did.
Why did you pull it? That's what I want to.
Well, first of all, I had worked with Jackie LeBlanc to come up with a suitable article that wouldn't be incorrect, possibly legally, and I'm thinking more legally according to the Humane Society. And she, you know, said these are the facts, and I trusted her because I worked with her in previous, you know, instances.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, fine, if this is what you said you did, great, I will put the story up. And I pulled it because after I sat back and looked at some of these events, I changed my mind. I said, there's some loopholes here, there's some pukas in this story.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I pulled it. I wanted to get a little more information, meet with Elsbieta and Patrick, and form my own opinion.
Right. So the actual situation, if I can synopsize it, is that the Humane Society found an article in the Examiner written by Penny Imes, and they didn't agree with that. And we'll talk in greater details later on that particular article and the actions taken by. So the Humane Society, while they were actually attacking, I'll describe it as an attack, asking that article to be pulled that was written by the other reporter, claiming it was inaccurate and other things. And it was inflammatory toward the Humane Society. But at the same time, they provided you with an article, information to write an article that was not accurate either, the Humane Society. And then as a result, you discovered that and you pulled it. Would that be fair assessment?
That'd be pretty close. You know, I was concerned with is, we both write for the Examiner, and in the letter, which you probably will get to, they were putting down the writers of the Examiner as not being professional journalists, and then here they were praising me in the same letter how wonderful I was and how, you know, and I'm still an Examiner. I mean, I'm, you know, I may not be a CNN journalist, so they were it was like I was confused, like, okay, do you love me? Do you hate me?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? And I felt a little weird about the whole situation.
Right. Well, Pam, you had a comment?
Yes, in regards to that, LeBlanc said that Penny Imes had let her personal opinions and persuasions inflame a case and the local community with biased reporting, poor investigation, and research. And LeBlanc also criticized Imes' work as irresponsible reporting at a detriment to this case and our organization.
Mm-hmm. That's what she was complaining about.
She complained actually to Matt Sandy, who is the Pacific Region Director of the Examiner.com.
And demanding that he pull the article.
Yes.
But again, like I just said, then at the same time providing Liz Rizzo, unsuspectingly, an article. Because why would I would never second guess the Humane Society. I mean, I wouldn't believe that they would be telling me that they're dissatisfied with an article that is inaccurate, inflammatory, and then hand me information that does exactly that. You know, and I understand your position, Liz. That after a while, you build a relationship with people, and you think that you can just, at face value, trust them, I guess. But it how does that leave you now? It doesn't attack your integrity, but it what does it say, that you will definitely be cautious with this, or what? How does it leave you?
Well, I think life is you know, you sometimes have to jump into the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Learn from later. I trust the Humane Society. I think they're doing some great things for our community.
Mm-hmm.
I think on a level of writing as an examiner, you know, it's a learning experience for me. I have to, you know, I try to trust people, you know, and I'm still going to trust people until they prove otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But my main goal is to give news to the community. That's
right.
It's really, and give a story. And Pam just said about the Examiner saying Ms. Imes had put her personal opinion. Well, you know what? I'm going to be accused of that in most of my articles. I put my personal opinion in there.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm writing it, and it doesn't mean the other person has to take that position.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still going to do the same thing I normally do, is just go through life doing the best I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. You know, trust people.
Yeah, so this is something that it got my attention, because it involves, number one, a dog, and it involves a family and a person that this dog is very dear to. So when you say the Humane Society, and that part of their effort is to protect and ensure that if an animal is lost or becomes stray, they help it find its home. And in this case, there seem to have been many things, and the listener should be aware that there's some greater details we'll be talking about and fleshing it out. And you will scratch your head and ask how and why. What is the motivation behind this? And anything else, Liz, you want to say?
No, not right now. No, thank you for allowing me to be on your show. And,
yeah.
And I really want to leave with one statement. Let's bring Rex home.
Yes.
You know, let's do the right thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you have anything else that thought after, give us a call back.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Anyway, so we know now that two things, and if you got a notepad, we'll take this like it's a classroom. Where, you know, we'll make note of this, that the Humane Society got your dog, Rex.
Mm-hmm.
The Hawaiian Humane Society, I should say. And in doing so, your dog was there, and they've adopted it out. And these records that we have, and they say that the people that were on your list that you had designated as an alternate or for an emergency contact never existed. So let's go back and as Pam, your article starts off talking about this, where she's in Kenya working, trying to help homeless kids and what have you there, and that you come back and you're told that your animal has been adopted out.
Yes, that was a big shock.
The article tells how you would feel, but without the expletive, can you share with us how did it feel? I mean, and I know how it feels now because I see everything.
Anger, and I cannot curse, I guess, because my first reaction was like, what the F?
Yeah.
It's like disbelief. And it's not happening.
And then because we have people out there that speak the Polish language, too, you can't use the Polish. So we'll use the clean, but I understand. I'm making light of this, but... Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
I'm listening into your show on this line.
Okay.
Thank you.
And so what happens then is that you get this, and I'm just trying to think here. The shepherd is 8 years old.
Well, now he's nine.
Nine, and you had two dogs, Nell and all. So, so let's go back, and we're going to start with the meeting. We know now. Let's start with the meeting, Pam, the day that you were invited to attend this meeting on the 14th of December last year.
Yes.
And can you go through and tell us some of the greater details of that?
Yes, I can. As I say, Keone Vaughn just was attempting to explain how Rex, who's registered with a microchip identification from the National Avid Petrak database, was unable to be reunited with Elzbieta. So in the course of this meeting, he basically presented a timeline.
Okay.
And he said that the Humane Society, had called Avid. They said that, actually, I was kind of surprised to hear Vaughn say that the only alternate contacts who were listed on the Avid Petrax database were Patrick Pettengill and...
That's Elizabeth's...
her husband.
Elizabeth's husband.
And a friend of Elzbieta's and named Robert Porek. And we had obtained a copy of the... We had obtained a copy of the official document from Avid Petrak, and it shows that Porek, who is, by the way, a former Humane Society employee, was not listed as an alternate contact. And on the other hand, El Sayed Matar, who is another personal friend of Elzbieta's, was listed continuously since October the 3rd of 2008. Yet, he was denied the dog, as Elzbieta referred to a moment ago. But they actually called Porek and asked him to come and get the dog. He wasn't even listed as a contact on the Avid documents.
So they claim, they being the Humane Society, claim that they checked the records and that the person that Elzbieta had designated was not on the list, so therefore they did not give him the dog or release the dog to him, even though she had designated, even though the records now, he say that the person she had designated, Matar, was not on the list.
Yes.
So I was in receipt, personally in receipt from Avid, after Patrick and Elizabeth requested it, they faxed, Avid faxed me the documents. And on those documents, it shows that the very person that the Humane Society claimed in that meeting was not on the list is actually on the list, which is Matar, who actually went to the Humane Society to pick it up.
Yes, Matar went on two separate occasions, according to Vaughn. He was there on August 18th, and he was there on August 31st.
And those dates are important because August the 17th is when the dog was taken into custody. This is the report, and I have to clarify something. We're only going on what the Humane Society say. We're going to trust, and I with very lightly trust. Now, I'm not going to wholeheartedly trust now because there's too many things that we can show that there's inconsistencies. So what we're saying, we'll use those dates loosely as they have told us. So the 17th, the animal of Rex arrived at the Humane Society.
Correct.
And then the day after he was there in the Humane Society, her designee, Matar, arrives to pick it up.
Yes,
and then they refused to let it. Just one day, and he, right? And he was on the AVID record, so go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that the first thing that Vaughn said was that Matar was never, ever listed on the AVID database, but we found him to be in triple contradiction of himself.
Mm-hmm.
He also stated, and I'm going to quote here now, somehow El Sayed Matar was, the number came up. I can't figure it out, and I apologize. Matar was also called as an emergency contact non-owner and told the dog was here. So if he's not listed, mm-hmm. how did they even think to call Mr. Mm-hmm. Matar? And then he also, Vaughn, also just a little bit further down, said that he was an ex and a former emergency contact.
Let's go from the first page, walk through, because if you toss it around.
And go ahead with that, finish up.
Well, no, just that, you know, we found him to be in triple contradiction mm-hmm. of himself in just mm-hmm. a very short period of time.
Yeah. And we're going to repeat a great bit of this because you'll get your head will start spinning. You're just trying to figure it out. But I'm reading from this, and you have, so that the listeners will know, you have a tape. You were able to tape the and videotape the meeting where all of this is in greater details and specific quotes, right?
Correct.
So, Keone Vaughn, by the way, is the HHS Director of Operations at the Humane Society, and he, as you say, he attempted to explain how Rex, who is registered with the microchip identification for the National AVID Pet Track, was unable to be reunited with the lawful owner. So this is what they put you through. And then Vaughn stated that the HHS received Rex on the 17th as a stray, scanned it, microchip. And there's a quote that grabbed me, too. So we look in our system under the microchip on our own database and couldn't find any information. So our standard operating procedure is to call AVID since it's AVID's chip. So we call AVID, gave us your phone number. This is what they tell you in this meeting, Elizabeth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your name and phone number. And then they claim it was not in service. So, Vaughn then asserted the only alternate contacts listed, as you said, was Pettingill and Robert Porak. Now, the records that we have never show Robert Porak on the records. Is that correct?
That's correct. His name does not appear.
But yet they gave Porak, and they relied on Porak's comments and statements and information to form their opinion and their decision as to what they would do with this animal, right?
Yes, Robert Porak made a number of verbal and written reports to the mm-hmm. Humane Society, and it appears that they followed his words to the T.
Mm-hmm. So I have to go through this because if when I was reading it again, and I'm lost at step one and step two and having to go back because I cannot believe an agency could go to this great length over one dog when they know the impacts, the mental impact, the anguish, the heartache that it's causing. This is your pet. And they're going through this, but again, for those of you just joining, this is while explaining to you, Elizabeth, and in that meeting on the 14th of December, they are struggling and threatening others to pull an article that explained these situations and was speaking the truth, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Attacking that. So, again, listeners, this isn't just an accident where someone was misinformed over at the Humane Society. This is something to complement whatever it was that they're perpetrating with you and providing you for an answer. They're equally being aggressive in attacking a reporter. But then at the same time, the three-prong approach, I guess I will define their attack or their strategies, is that while attacking one article in the newspaper or Examiner.
Hello?
Yes?
I'm here.
And okay, well, and attacking that, then attacking that news article, then sitting and providing you with explanations that are not accurate and false extensively, then turn around and while attacking the other article, presenting an article to a reporter representing things that are not accurate, so that they could get their picture, their story told in a different way to further perpetuate whatever it is that they're trying to protect. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a flagrant attempt to manipulate the media and public opinion.
Mm-hmm. You're there, Liz. You have a comment? Or?
Well, I'm learning more each time I listen to someone tell a story.
Okay.
You know, I'm getting more details, absolutely, and I'm really clearly seeing that the Humane Society made some snafus.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, it's clear, and I'm hoping the public will see that.
They will, and
absolutely. And I appreciate you for doing this. This is.
Yeah. But again, so that we know, people can listen and read your stories and all in Examiner.com. First of all, how do they get there to your site and what have you?
Well, Examiner.com, and then you would shoot. Normally, if you're in Hawaii and you log on, it'll automatically bring you to the Hawaii site. You would just go Examiner Pets Liz Rizzo, Lizrizzo.
Okay.
Google that and it'll take you there.
Okay. And so what goes on here is that although Ms. Trzak, and I'm reading from your article basically, Pam, although Ms. Trzak, email address was listed on the Avid Petrak dot, Vaughn failed to provide any evidence that he attempted to contact her via email while she volunteered in Africa. So he tells her, I tried to call you, but your phone number didn't work. But then he failed to. There was no act of desperation to really get Rex back to his home. So he didn't bother to use her email, which was active, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you also had a Facebook at the time?
No, I always had my website.
Okay. And so,
but there is also a way of communicating to me through my website.
Mm-hmm. So here's a statement that Vaughn, and again, these are quotes now. I'm just reading from your report. Vaughn said in this meeting, Vaughn said the HHS contacted Avid Petrak and found Matar was never, ever entered on the Avid paperwork.
Yes, that was his first statement.
And these are, I mean, this was this meeting again, where he's making these statements, and this meeting was called to clear up all issues and lay the facts down, right? Yet, I'm sitting here right now, folks, holding a document that I got from Avid, and Matar's name is everywhere over the document.
Yes, well, continuously since 2008.
Yeah. So, despite him saying that Matar was not registered, HHS called Matar. This is what's puzzling. He claimed that the man was not on the list.
Right.
He had no contact information, but then in another statement, you read it. I don't want to steal your thunder here.
Yeah, well, it's just somehow Elsa and Matar was. The number came up. I can't figure it out, and I apologize. Elsie Matar was also called as an emergency contact non-owner and told the dog was here.
These are his quotes.
Yeah.
Yet he claimed the man was never on the list.
Right.
And that he couldn't contact him. And he dialed your number, but it wasn't active. So who does he turn to? A gentleman named R.P. And I must let the listeners know that in speaking to you, the three of you there at that meeting, he, Vaughn, and LeBlanc engaged in a very secretive process of claiming to not violate confidentiality and using only initials. So we took the liberty of using your information. EM, the only EM involved in this is
Yes, my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, Matar. Yes. And the RP, the only RP that was in there was not Robert Preston, but it was Robert Porak, right?
Mm-hmm.
Robert. So that's a liberty that we took, but we think that the documents speak for themselves and the emails that you've received from Porak, and you had a relationship, friendship with him as well, and so there's no doubt. But it sure suggests that why would they speak to you in that fashion anyway, when it was the intent of this meeting was to lay out the facts?
Yeah, if you're going to lay out facts, you don't want to find yourself in triple contradiction.
And you want to be able to attribute certain statements to individuals in their legal names, not their initials, TJ, CJ, what have you. Vaughn referred to people by the initials. According to Vaughn, on August 18, Matar arrived at the HHS to claim for Zach. He was met with rejection. He was told by HH staff that he was ineligible to retrieve the dog. So one interesting thing that came up, to discourage you, I suspect, from pursuing this, they said that, oh, your dog wasn't licensed, but it was never an issue. The fact is they had an AVID chip, correct?
Mm-hmm.
The fact is they knew you. And they were able to contact you eventually. And there was emails and what have you. And they acknowledged that Porak was a friend of yours because they relied on that. What do you suspect there? What happened? Why? What are they trying to hide? I hate to say this. It's a reckless way of asking. But is the dog really, Rex, really adopted out?
Do you want to know my personal opinion?
Mm-hmm.
I personally believe that Rex was given to someone who is friends with Keon Yvonne.
Mm-hmm.
To them. From that meeting even, I got the impression that he's friends with this woman who has Rex. Because when I started to say, well, something doesn't add up here, he became very nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started asking him like questions very straightforward, well, you know this woman, you talk to her. And he was like, his answer were not clear. Well, yes and no. I was like, so it's yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
So I do have a feeling that he knows this woman and he's just protecting her or something. Mm-hmm. I don't understand his...
So, Pam, in your article, and I can say that the facts are there, that it's a recording. This is quoting Keone Vaughn. These statements are, he is not the owner. He is an ex and former emergency contact. Now, how can he claim now that he's not the owner and he's a former ex and former emergency contact? What does he mean by that, former emergency contact, when he's already declared that the man was never on the record?
Never, ever. Yeah. I know.
Do we quantify that as lies, misrepresentation? How do we assign a title to this behavior?
Well, that is lies, contradictions, and misrepresentations.
And then you talk about the triple contradiction. Vaughn first stated Matar was never listed on the AVID documents as a contact person, later reversed himself saying that HHS had called Matar as an emergency contact, and finally said Matar was turned away. So he was never on, but then we called him. And then he came and we turned him away. So what was the purpose of calling him? Now, I'm not going to say anything about the state of mind of these people, but, I have spoken to people that speak in this fashion and you suspect substance abuse, having a problem of some sort. I don't know what to assign to this one, but there, and we haven't even gotten through the second page.
Right. It was very reckless of him to make all of these contradictory statements, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And then Vaughn stated that on August 31st, one day after the animal, Rex, had been adopted out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Matar goes back. And then they tell him it's too late because it's been adopted out. Now, why wouldn't they immediately tell him, okay, we'll resolve this, and we now know that you are, because they're now dealing with him?
Yeah, well, on August 31st, when Mr. Mattar returned to the HHS to claim the dog, they turned him away that time because he didn't have proof of, quote, guardianship. Mm-hmm. But at that time, Mattar was unknowing. Mm-hmm. He didn't even realize that the HHS had adopted out Rex the previous day.
Mm-hmm. And then you've done your homework, you, Elisabetta and Pam. What you did, on December 22nd, you provided an affidavit signed by Mattar.
Mekadin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my husband and I, we actually met with my ex-boyfriend to go through all the details. We wanted to clarify things. And this is not, my ex-boyfriend told me that he went there just as I asked him, begging him to go there. And he was told by Human Society that he has to prove papers that he is related to the dog. But in the meantime, he asked if he could see Rex, and they allowed him. So he went to see Rex, and he said hi to him, that he's going to be back, he's going to get the documents. So the next day, my ex-boyfriend brought the papers to the Human Society, thinking he's picking up Rex, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was told, well, Rex is not here anymore. The other emergency contact, which was Robert Porrick, picked him up already. That's what he was told.
And this was told to Mattar?
Yes.
By
Human Society.
Right. When, in fact, Mattar never picked the dog up?
Porrick never picked the dog up.
Porrick never
picked it up. And then Human Society, according to Human Society.
According to Humane Society.
Robert never picked him up.
They originally said they gave the animal to Porrick.
Yes.
But then Porrick claims he never picked the animal up.
Yes.
Well, according to Porrick's emails, he actually claims that he did pick the dog up.
Mm-hmm.
However, after going through everything, we found that that's not quite the case.
Now, I must offer this. I did, in fact, telephone Mr. Porrick's number that was provided to me, asked that he notified that we'd be discussing this and invited him to participate. And I also contacted Jackie LeBlanc at the Hawaiian Humane Society, asking her. Strange enough, now, you would think for someone to be threatening a newspaper, an online service, to pull an article because of inaccuracies, and then giving one that an article to have it written that is not accurate, you would think she'd be clambering over herself and others to get to the show to continue on that path of setting the record straight. Am I assuming too much?
No, I think so. Correct, because we have the tape of the meeting.
So, again, you say that HHS grants guardian status to Porrick. According to Vaughn, and to summarize Rex's fate, a major factor why the HHS denied Rex to Mattar was because he did not have, quote, proof of guardianship, a term not defined by Vaughn. But they gave Porrick guardianship.
Yes, they called him and asked him, requested him to come down and please get this dog.
And I might add, some of the emails that you provided me from Porrick was that he would talk to his, quote, friend at the Hawaiian Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then he also talked about having worked there on occasion.
Yeah.
So was this about friendship rather than guardianship? Was this about avidships or what have you? Or was it about, we're the Humane Society and we do as we please?
Yeah, I think that's the one.
Yeah, me too.
So, Vaughn stated that we advise your ex that because the owner has not contacted us and he does not have proof of guardianship, nor does he have any proof that he has contacted you. Now, they've already given the Rex away, adopted him out. Why are they putting you through? What do you think, Pam? Why are they putting her through this now? Why have any more meetings?
I honestly, I'm at a loss. I don't know. I can't explain that behavior.
And then you mentioned the double standards. What about the double standards?
Well, basically, there was a double standard that appears to have been set in place for Porrick, because remember now, he is a former HHS employee. And unlike El Sayed Mattar, Porrick's name did not even appear on the AVID Pet Track documents.
Mm-hmm.
as a contact person. But nevertheless, they still called Porrick, They listened to Porek, what he said. Porek had told them, don't give the dog to Matar. Don't do it. And apparently they just listened to him. So I can't explain it, Carol.
For those of you who just joined in, this is the Carol Cox Show. I have my guests here, Elizabeth Krezak and Patrick Pettingill, Pam Davis, and on the line is Liz Rizzo from Examiner.com. We're discussing a subject called Where is Rex? A dog that was adopted out by the Humane Society, and the owner alleges that there were some improprieties and some illegal, unlawful things occur. So that's what we're discussing. And we'll continue this in the second hour, but within a few more minutes we'll be going back. But yeah, you also say that, which is 9 days from the, he later said, we got RP's information from the microchip because he was added. But the records that we have from Avid never shows Robert Porak's name. He was never registered.
No.
But the Humane Society is saying we got Robert Porak's number and name from
the microchip.
And that, you know, with a little bit of caution, I will say that they may have different documents than we have. Shame on Avid to submit documents as being the fact, if that's the case. But if the records are that ragged, and that Humane Society can have certain documents and we can get certain documents on the same animal, then that says that the whole national program is compromised. I'm going to err on the side that it's the Humane Society who's giving bad information. If even if they had the documents, it's not consistent with what the story just does not gel.
No, it does not.
And compounding the disparate treatment, you say that the HHS, Vaughn said that Porak told him, I have no way of getting in touch with the owner, and that Porak could not pick up Rex. When in fact, late on in the next hour, I'm going to share with the listeners, and we'll talk about that, not only is that an untruth, or mistruth, or misstatement, or whatever it is, we got emails where he's contacting you on a regular basis.
Yes.
And telling you that he has the animal and everything's hunky-dory and fine, when in fact the animal's already been adopted out. But we'll go into greater details. And this is what the Humane Society embraced. It's painful. I admire you for, I don't know, from your original, your country, if you believe in violence, but I know some people here in America, at least they'd be bald-headed, they'd pull the hair out or something. But Vaughn granted guardian status to Porak, who, according to Vaughn, admitted he had no way of getting in touch with the former. And for the same reason, Vaughn said he denied Rex to Matar.
Correct.
No guardianship. Matar couldn't establish guardianship.
And that he had no way of getting in touch with the owner.
Yeah, and listeners, you might think I'm repeating myself, but no, these are the same statements made over and over to reinforce their actions. This is, we're reading it from quotes, so they repeatedly, they're repetitive in their explanation. And after HHS called Porak telling him he needed to pick up Rex, Vaughn said Porak later phoned the HHS saying he had nowhere to house the dog and could not keep Rex. Vaughn responded, do you have somebody that can come and get the dog on your behalf? Now, that just jumped out at me. First of all, you listed Matar as your alternate.
Yes.
They won't release him, and he shows up there to pick him up on three separate occasions.
On Terziak's behalf.
On Terziak's behalf. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, they give guardianship to Porak, and then Porak claims that he can't handle this, so they then say, well, just pick anybody.
Yeah.
You see anybody out there on the street, you know, wait for a while. There's a bus coming by, you know. Maybe somebody on the bus might want to take him home.
Yeah, that stood out to me, too.
I'm sorry. I inserted that little drama, but it's, I don't know. It's been.
And then a further question you might ask is if the fact that Mr. Ford couldn't come get the dog and, you know, couldn't provide anybody else to come pick up Rex, then why didn't they just call the ex back who had already showed up to pick up the dog?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he's showing active interest, he obviously wants the dog, and he knows the dog, so why wouldn't they give the dog to someone who already knows him?
Yeah, and as you say, remember, Vaughn refused to let Matar claim Rex on behalf of his rightful owner, Miss Trezak, yet offered to let Korak designate an unidentified person to pick up Rex. You got to read this article, and we're going to take a break and come back in the second hour. If you want to join us, please, carolcox.com is where you can pick this up, and animaladvocateinc.org. And for examiner.com, Liz, real quick, give your email again. The website again.
It's examiner.com. You would click on Honolulu and go to the pet section.
Okay, we're going to come back shortly and hold those thoughts. Hold on.
Every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. On K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. And I'm joined here with Elisabetta Trezak, her husband Patrick Pettingill, and Pam Davis, and on the line now I have Liz Rizzo, who's a reporter from Examiner.com, and we also have just been joined by Joanne Uller from Medina, Ohio. And you're going to say what? Well, Joanne is how we got involved, because Joanne lives in Ohio, but apparently through Elizabeth's efforts on the internet, Joanne was assisting you and then contacted Pam Davis.
Yes, that's correct.
Joanne, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. And you know the subject we're discussing, the dog. Rex is Elizabeth's dog. And what's your involvement, if you would bring up, share that with the listeners out here?
Well, I met Elisabetta through a Facebook page. She was asking for help and sounded very desperate. So we had a small conversation, and then we started messaging each other via Facebook and became instant friends. And after obtaining all of the information that she had in regards to her case, I decided to do the best that I could to help her in seeking out the right people to finish her mission.
So you saw from the start that something just didn't look right.
You know, nothing really clicked, and I started doing some research online and was able to find several different legal cases that were very similar to Elisabetta's. And I instantly thought, well, all of these cases were won. In all of these cases, the pet was returned to the owner. Although her situation was a little unique, but I think all situations are. And my heart just broke for her. And, you know, she struggled so hard. I really felt that it was important for me to become involved in reuniting her with her dog. I've had 5 German Shepherds, and I know what kind of a wonderful animal they are. I would not and could not imagine being without my animal.
Mm-hmm.
It would totally envelop my world every minute of the day.
So this speaks to a bigger benefit that we have here. This is the internet, so we are here in Hawaii. You're in Ohio. And there's Penny Ames, and then there's Liz Rizzo. So let's hear it one time for the internet. Yeah, you know, this is why it's, alternative media now is the better way to go, I believe, because you can get instant results and instant action. And there are, and the other thing, that a bigger thing that it speaks to, is the goodness of people. So thank you. And thank you, Liz, and also Joanne. And Pam, I'm not going to thank you because you're still working on this. I'll wait next year.
Okay.
But anyway, let's go back to this. And what we're doing, Joanne, is we're going to go through some of the details of what is developed and what we found with the Humane Society. And again, so all those that may call up, we're discussing the Humane Society and the disposition of someone's pet named Rex, a German Shepherd, 9-year-old now, that was adopted out by the Humane Society, and the owner, as well as I now believe, that there were improprieties or in something that just doesn't set well. So let's go back to that, the issue. When you, Jackie LeBlanc, talks to you in this meeting.
Yes, well, Jackie LeBlanc, although Keone Vaughn did the majority of the talking, she came out with a statement. She told Elsbieta that the bottom line is that the person listed as your emergency contact and your ex and the other people involved in your personal life revolving around the care of this dog failed you. I do not believe in this case the Humane Society failed you.
Mm-hmm. And again, the reason I ask you to share that is that this is their communications,
community relations director. Yes.
And she was instrumental in being aggressive in attacking those articles that were written in the Examiner and then also providing the article for Liz Rizzo.
Yes.
So what then happens along the way? I want to share with the listeners some emails that I got from, and please pay attention to this because it's painful. This is from Robert Porak, who the Hawaiian Humane Society granted guardianship and what have you, and attempted to release Rex to them, but Rex, he was never on the list, the documents that we have received from Avid. But I'm going to go through here a couple of them right quick, and these are exchanges of emails sent to you, Elizabeth, by Robert Porak during this time that you were away. Robert is saying, this is on the 28th of August. Now, keep in mind, the pet was adopted out on the 30th of August, 2010, right? I spoke to a supervisor at Hawaiian Humane Society and was able to get Rex into a foster home for a couple of months. This is what Robert Porak is telling you in an email, yet the records does not reflect that, yet Keone Vaughn did not disclose that. So one or two of them are providing false information, number one. So that should be, that should buy time, right? And then he says that he will also, I'm supposed to talk to Humane Society the day I called yesterday, but they don't answer. I left messages, but they never called back. So I called a guy I know there, and he said, call him today. Now, see, this is that intimate relationship that there, it may not even exist, but this is what Porak represents. And so on October 8th, 2010. Now remember, the animal was already adopted out. Rex was adopted out to another family on August 30th, 2010. But Robert Porak is writing to you, Elizabeth. The foster home cannot keep Rex any longer. They called me today, so I am going to bring him here to my house anyway. I'll get him on Sunday. My question is, either the Humane Society is not telling us the other portion of that story, or it was never adopted out, and never, or it was never put in the foster home. Somebody is lying, or that's a glaring piece of information that the Humane Society failed to disclose, that they had fostered the animal. Okay, so Then we go on to October 14th. Yes, Rex is here. They couldn't keep him any longer. This is what he said. This is what Robert Porak said. They couldn't keep him. This is in October 14th. But the animal had been adopted out. When? August
30th.
30th. Okay. So this is a man that the Humane Society gave guardianship, granted guardianship, and gave more trust to his statements than the legal designee that had been assigned by you, the rightful owner of the animal. So listen to this, folks, and if you think you've been told something that's painful to hear, imagine being abroad and you hear this. Now, this is November 1, 2010, an email written to you, Esbieta, from Robert Porak. Bad news. I came home from Halloween late last night, and Zippy and Rex are gone. The window screen was knocked out, like maybe they jumped out the window. The gate was closed, but they weren't in the yard. I think the fireworks scared them. I have looked all around and cannot find them anywhere. I put a call into the Humane Society, and with the chips they will call me, or the vet, if they find them, they will call to hopefully soon all of my neighbors know if they see them, they will tell me. Sorry, looking elsewhere. The animal, Rex, has been adopted out in August of 2010, 30th of 2010, and here he is writing this in November 1. What gives?
Well, that time frame was about the time Esbieta was coming back from overseas, actually, like a couple days before.
Right, but again, she's abroad, and yet this gentleman is providing this information, representing that he has the animal in his care, and the animal was in a foster home, couldn't be held. But the reality is, as according to the Humane Society, they'd already adopted Rex out to another family in August, months earlier. So, again, on November 3rd, he writes, Zippy has an ID tag with his address and my phone number, and right? So now, here is another one on November 3rd. Zippy has never run away before. My neighbors had a Halloween party, so a lot of people were around. I told him he knows what Rex and Zippy look like, so he will ask the friends if they saw them. I put posters up and called my friends at the Humane Society. Again, my friends at the Humane Society. Yet, they gave him so much credit and allowed him to receive your dog as they attempted to do. And I'm off Friday, so we can, okay, I will try to find Zippy. Now, again, on November 5th, my neighbor found Zippy this morning, 10 miles from home. He is happy to be back, but covered in stickers and dirt. No sign of Rex. So from looking at Zippy, they didn't go toward the beach. They went up toward the mountain. Zippy is tired and thirsty, but doesn't seem hungry. So maybe someone was feeding them and has Rex. I'm going to check at the area and houses this afternoon and this weekend. Again, the animal, Rex, has already been adopted out. Then you write him and tell him that you have nailed, but he tells you, thank you, Rob. Robert writes you, nailed. Elizabeth, I just got a call from Avid, the microchip company. They said Nail is in Hawaii Humane Society. That's your other dog.
Mm-hmm.
And Avid's phone number is 800-3-6 in reference made. I still have not heard anything about Rex. I thought you had Nail back. Now, how can that happen? You had two dogs. Mm-hmm. He claimed that Rex was fostered out. The Humane Society claimed they had already adopted Rex out.
Yeah, on August 30th.
Mm-hmm. So, something's...
Well, like Elspieta said in that December 14th meeting, somebody's lying. You know, she doesn't know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
But something's not right.
And yet he's claiming that Avid called him, but he was never on Avid's records, according to the records that Avid provided us. this may not seem like a lot, but then he goes on, actually, as the owner of the law, you have 10 days to claim the dog legally. They can adopt it out. Well, now they're getting technical with you, when in fact, who cares if they have 10 or 100 days? Your representative was there the second day after the animal, Rex, had been taken in. So is that law applicable? Do we care about it? Because clearly he was there asking to have the Rex returned to him. And so I don't know. It's sickening. If they are mistaken, it could be because they got him back. Actually, you as the owner, by law, is 10 days to claim the dog. They can adopt it out. If they are mistaken, it could be because they got him back in. I never called them to call them or Avid, because I assumed they all would call me if they had him. But I didn't go to check, so that is my fault. I didn't keep my paperwork, as it was only a receipt and a license info. So, again, letting the listeners know out there that you're told by Keone Vaughn that in order to get any documents, you need to file a subpoena or subpoena the records.
Yes.
But there's no active case, so you took the other measure of filing the Information Practices Act, Sunshine Act request.
Yes.
And what did they tell you?
I actually received an email from their attorney saying that we were retained by Human Society to respond to your request for the UIPA. And the attorney mentions to me to provide a check payable to Hawaiian Human Society in the amount of $22.70, and then all the information except for the name of the person who adopted Rex will be provided to me. So I sent the letter, so I'm still waiting to receive all those documents.
Now, let's clarify that. They didn't offer to give us all the documents. What they offered up was pages 1 through 18 of their record, and also that fee that we had to pay to get these is supposedly for filing or for copying fees and for them to locate the file. So, and that's the same file that they told us they would give us freely if we subpoenaed it.
So, Liz or Joanne, you have any comment?
Well, I would like to interject with where they have a right to decide on someone's character. They choose not to release the dog to the rightful party. The individual that has all of Rex's documents in hand and is their emergency contact on their list. And they're going to go by the judgment of this other individual stating that you can't have someone decide the fate of an animal like that. The Humane Society should have done diligence. They should have seen that this was a unique situation. They should have put this dog on hold, fostered this dog out until a complete investigation was done. They've done this in the past. They have a policy to do so. But instead, they decided to become judge and jury and adopt this animal out when this animal was loved and cared for, had an emergency contact that was there the next day to retrieve him, and he was not given to him. Now, when you go to the extent of having your dog microchipped, and you have individuals on a contact list as an emergency contact, is that not the way things are supposed to be done? Are you not supposed to release that animal? It is not for them to judge who that dog goes to. It is LBS's decision who that dog goes to. Where is their compassion in regards to this? This is such a fiasco, because when Rex was let known to the Humane Society about this issue, people started posting on the Humane Society's Facebook page. They were questioning this as well. So instead, the Humane Society takes this as a mission and starts start educating the public on how they can have their animal microchipped. Well, who would want to do that when, in this case, the microchip failed the animal and the owner?
Mm-hmm.
I would like them to explain this to me.
Well, we're going to see if we can get answers. And the way, I'm not a lawyer and I don't give legal advice, but if I was in your predicament, I would file a criminal complaint at this time.
Carol?
Personally. Yes.
When you don't mean to interrupt you. This is Liz.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did get a chance to speak to Jackie LeBlanc and discuss the same things Joanne just mentioned. And I asked Jackie point blank, you knew this dog belonged to someone. You're telling me that there was some domestic violence issues, whether it be true or not. You knew it was a different case. Why didn't you treat it differently? Why didn't you do the humane thing? And she said, well, we spent too much time on this case already, and that it, how she put it, was we did everything according to the book, according to the letter. And I, at that point, told Jackie that I could no longer support her position. Because as a dog owner, I have a golden retriever who is 11 years old, and if that had happened to me, I would go to the ends of the earth to get my dog back.
Mm-hmm.
And I also added to Jackie that I had spoke to Elsbieta and told her to hire legal, you know, assistance, to hire an investigator, and Jackie said to me, some comment to me, which was a little crazy, but...
What was that comment?
Well, the comment that she made was, because I said to her, you know, there's people on the mainland that, you know, actually remove dogs from situations that are, like, dogs are being abused, dogs that are being used for research. And we just had that conversation, and she, I felt like she was attacking me and saying, well, that's terroristic, that's a terrorist act, those are terrorists. And I thought, oh, boy. You know, I mean, it was like, you know, I said, Jackie, I'm not suggesting that we do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just suggesting that how strong, you know, this woman feels about having her child, her dog, her
mm-hmm.
companion, return to her.
Rightfully
owner. Yes, rightful owner. And I said, Jackie, also I added, Humane Society, you made some mistakes. You know, you made some mistakes, and now it feels like you're trying to backpedal. And it's just not going to work in the end, because the funds that may be used in litigation will be taken away from the animals that could use the money.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And go ahead.
I think one thing that's really strange and not explained at all by anybody at the Humane Society is why the Humane Society seems to have conferred a status on Porek that was superior to that of Matar.
Mm-hmm.
They were taking Porek's words. He said, don't release the animal to Matar. Why would they listen to Robert Porek if he wasn't even listed on the AVID microchip information, and Matar was?
Mm-hmm.
That is just a mystery.
Or here's an email from I guess it was LeBlanc that sent this to a Matt, the editor of the newspaper The Examiner in Washington, and the title was Irresponsible Reporting and the Hawaiian Humane Society. Irresponsible reporting. She was actively and being aggressive in attacking other newspapers, actually the same online newspaper, saying take the article down because it was a... And then one of the things that grabbed me, she went on to further to infer that there was some suggestion of gunplay or guns involved. I mean, I don't have that specific statement here, but this is the young lady, Jackie LeBlanc, to the reporter at the Examiner, Miss Patty Ein. Yes, we're very concerned about what threats resulting that involve guns and violence and any instigation that poses danger to the many people and many circumstances involved in this case.
Where did that come from?
Well, I'm beginning to believe that there are a chosen few over there at the Humane Society that instead of giving the dogs the medicine, you know, and the drugs, somebody's misusing, because you can't go to this extent. When there's all it involves is a simple issue. your dog Rex belongs to you. You met every legal requirement. You designated, you what have you, chipped it. They knew it, and yet they put you through this. I believe, in my thinking, it's conspiracy, and I believe the city prosecutor would find it difficult to say no, in my opinion, because this is an act that is unlawful, inconsistent with state or with city laws, and they are a contract of the city to enforce the humane laws of the well-being of animals in the city under the charter, under the HRS, right?
Yes, they are the city's animal control contractor, and you know, this isn't an isolated incident either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're very aware of the Humane Society's actions in other cases,
mm-hmm.
and we think that this has just gone too far.
Yeah, and if you would be patient with me, just speaking of history, recently in the recent past we had the Norman Bonnie Payne situation where the Humane Society, there was a lawsuit against a number of individuals involved where they invited the National Humane Society and they came in and they were wearing fake badges. Now, if I did that, I'd go to jail. Well, our city prosecutor didn't seem to prosecute them. So that's one act. And other things occurred in that, but that's one. Number two, you know, in this thing, they went on to say, oh, well, we've just had this big puppy mill case, and you should highlight that rather than talk about these things that with this one dog, Rex.
Right. It's all about publicity and molding public opinion in their favor. And when Penny Iams' story came out, Jackie LeBlanc just didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And she sent a very strongly worded letter to Penny Iams' boss, I guess it is, the Pacific Region Director, Matt
mm-hmm.
Sandy.
So you come in with fake badges, you participate in a situation such as that, you do things that you try to prosecute the people, and the city prosecutor ignores you, just tell you we're not going to even review the case. So that's one. And then you turn around and you employ these tactics of attacking a newspaper and claiming and threatening them, what have you. I'm sorry, that isn't consistent with humane approach or even humanity. Something's out of whack here.
Oh, it's out of control. It has been for quite some while.
Mm-hmm. So what are your laws in Joanne and Ohio? What is there anything equivalent? If you had the situation, would your prosecutors or state prosecutors look at a case such as this?
I haven't found anything locally.
Mm-hmm.
We have the ASPCA as well as the Humane Society here in Medina, Ohio. And I know the dog warden personally has spoken to her on the phone for unrelated reasons. And as far as I'm concerned, I know that anyone who owns a dog is going to go out there and search for that animal, or they're going to leave that animal in the hands of someone that they trust. And this is what Elspieta did.
Mm-hmm.
And he proved himself. He went to go get that dog.
Mm-hmm.
They did not release that animal to him. He visited Rex there in the kennel and told Rex, I will be back tomorrow. I will come to get you. You will come home tomorrow with me.
Mm-hmm.
When he returned the next day with every document that dog had in a file, not only vet records and the information for AVID, but the quarantine records in which Elspieta had to have Rex shipped from California to Hawaii. Every document that belonged to that animal he had in his possession went to go retrieve Rex. Rex was no longer there. They
mm-hmm.
gave this man an opportunity. They told him, come back tomorrow with the necessary documents. He did. He was not even given a 24-hour window
mm-hmm.
to return with what they requested, and he provided.
Mm-hmm.
The dog was gone.
Hmm. Well, it sure suggests that something is crazy here, and I don't know. And speaking of one thing, just digressing a bit, there was one instance where Porak said that he couldn't get in touch with him and what have you, Esbieta. But in fact, I have an email here that you sent back to Robert at that time while you were away, saying my phone number in Kenya is 254-715, blah, blah. So that was an active number, but they didn't call you. But he also was contacting you through your webpage or through your
yes.
email.
That email was also sent out to about 20 other contacts.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't say that nobody knew how to get a hold of her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was listed on the AVID documents itself. Mm-hmm.
Now, Pam, is there anything else you wanted to share with this? Because it's extensive, and again, I applaud Liz for pulling the article, because that in itself helped bring this thing to closure. And I'm hoping and I pray that LeBlanc and the Pam Burns, the president, CEO, and all of her powerful attorneys and all of her support staff and all of the veterinarians that hang loose with her, take this one and all of those commercials that the TV stations are running and all of that. Something has to give here. Something has, these people have to be held accountable. It's bigger than Rex, because any of us can be subjected to that. But unfortunately, you right now, you're in this predicament. And it's at their hands, and all they had to do was do the right thing. But instead, they're engaging in threatening reporters, pulling articles, writing fake articles, bogus information, and then standing back, hoping this all go away by saying, make sure you get your dog microchipped.
Right, and Liz Rizzo, you know, earlier in this program, mentioned her concerns about spending community resources.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she puts the blame squarely on the mm-hmm. HHS in this case. And I agree, because in the Norman Pang case, for example, all of these community resources, whether it be from taxpayer money through the city and county contract or through private donations, how much of this money that people think is going to help the animals is actually going to bail out the HHS from all of these wrongdoings that they're involved with?
I mean, I wonder how many people called the Hawaiian Humane Society to speak to Jackie LeBlanc over the last month and were told she's busy, when in fact she's busy sawing the legs off of a reporter in Washington and threatening the editor and telling him to pull an article while she's submitting a bogus article, or an article with information betraying even a person that she has a friendly relationship with who trusts her.
Right, and encouraging Elsbieta to file in court against the adopter.
Right.
You know, as if they were completely blameless.
Yeah, you know, my assessment here is, and I think I'm qualified, and anybody take issue with it, do so. And that is, it's gone too far. It's swung way over. We just had that recent puppy mill. We see Pam Burns speaking out that she was shocked and disturbed that you couldn't charge the individuals. See, that's when you know that a person is in over their head, because you should know that if you charge a corporation, that's what you're charging, a corporation. Even though the Supreme Court said it's a person, that's who you're charging. Don't turn around and get angry at the system. You should have done this way ahead of time.
Right. She makes excuses when she should have known to mm-hmm. begin with at the outset.
And so hiding behind the UIPA request, you must file a subpoena. Well, first of all, where is the active court case to get a subpoena? Or something, formal claim, or small claims for the... But acting as if they will give it to you, but once you file the Sunshine Act request, we tell you, no, we'll only give you so much. But instead of speaking to you, they've all been speaking to you all along and writing articles and what have you, but now all of a sudden we got to get the lawyer, hide behind mama's skirt tail. This is what's painfully troubling, in that they know the dirt that they're doing, and then when it comes to you paint them in a corner, or they paint themselves in that corner, then they run to get speak with the attorneys. It the game is over, Humane Society. You can't continue this.
Right. And, you know, they've got their attorneys. The Humane Society, Keone Vaughn, will not respond to me now either. He tells me he's being represented by attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we wanted clarification for our article that mm-hmm. we're writing, just as we want our article to be containing accurate information. And when we request that,
mm-hmm.
what happened? We're told, oh, no, sorry, can't talk to you
mm-hmm.
on the advice of our attorneys.
Well, to be specific, you and I said and authored this letter because we felt that there were some very serious and troubling things that had happened to this to Elsbieta and other public people. We wrote a letter.
Yes.
And basically we asked him, is there any information in the article about Rex written by Ms. Rizzo, published in the Examiner on December 15, 2011, which is inaccurate, in your opinion? That's all. And we ask him, has anyone else at the HHS contacted AVID regarding Rex's microchip information? Did the HHS obtain information from AVID verbally? Or did AVID provide the HHS with actual documents? If yes, what was Mr. Mage Matar's name on the AVID documents as an emergency alternate? These are the questions we want for clarification. So when you wrote your article, this is what we said and wrote and sent him.
Yes.
No answer. Then he finally asked, thank you for your request. I'm out of the office until next Wednesday and will respond at that time. And then that
so
time
I
came.
I had to delay my article.
Right. And then what happens, he then tell you he's speaking through his attorneys now.
Right.
And yet they were busy threatening a reporter and an editor to pull an article.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. That's something. I don't know. Anyway, Liz, any we're coming down at the
yes.
closing hour. Go ahead.
I have a question for
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can the public do in this case to help, you know, Elsbieta and help in the return of Rex? What would you recommend the public do?
I would recommend that all citizens call the city council, call the chief of police, or any of the above there, chief of police and or the city prosecutors. And I would say, as I say, I'm not giving legal advice, but I would suggest and encourage you to explore the criminal charges of this, that there was a conspiracy to defraud you of your animal and take away your rights because you abided by the law. You obeyed the law and you were rightfully the owner and you attempted to exhaust your rights and exercise your rights, and they defrauded you of those. Or this process didn't afford you that. So I think you, and it's painful, and it has been painful for some while, but I think if I was you come Monday morning, I'd be filing a criminal complaint against it.
Well, that's what I have to do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would say go down and ask and inquire, but I would, that if that was me in that situation, because you've tried everything else. You tried to satisfy all the rules.
And my organization, Animal Advocate, is calling for a full-blown investigation
mm-hmm.
of the Humane Society in light of all of these situations. And we intend to contact the mayor, the city council, and the city prosecutors.
Mm-hmm. Anything from you? So how about you join? We're going to be closing down here shortly. Anything? Any further comments?
Yes, I would like to add. On our Facebook page, over the last 2 months, we've had other individuals tell their stories in regards to desperate situations that have happened to them. There was a young lady that did post that her husky was at the Hawaiian Humane Society. Now, mind you, it's an 8-year-old dog.
Mm-hmm.
She explained to us that she was told by the Humane Society that her dog got loose, that it had jumped a wall. Now, she explained that it's an 8-foot wall. I can't confirm that.
Mm-hmm.
The Humane Society lost her dog. Now, these are purebred animals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if this is not a pattern. And you have a purebred animal that is obviously going to be more sought after in this kind of a facility. And, you know, are they lying to her? They never gave her an answer in regards to this. You know, Rex, he was not lost due to a death or an illness. He was lost because of incompetence and ignorance. And, you know, as a pet owner, I mean, we would never consider something this devastating to happen to our family members. But it really seems that these kind of circumstances are happening to other responsible pet owners. And that's the key word here, is a responsible pet owner.
Yeah. Hold that thought. We have one call. Hold on. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hello. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Am I in the ad?
Yes, you are.
Hi. Do forgive me. I have a allergy and a terrible flu. I'm not well, but I have been listening since the show started. Is someone that the who is, was, I had a terrible issue beyond you can imagine happened to me or because of conduct of the Human Society. I have also, I've known prior a worker as well as volunteer at the Human Society where I have heard and where they sent the elderly to go there, when, especially when they got purebred, etc. And there are, and I don't know now because that happened several years ago, but yes, end up in the, and they don't even get neutered, they actually end up in a puppy mill. And there is some kind of terrible corruption that were, happened, I have heard, from the people that work there. But I'm calling for incident that happened to me, that literally, my animal is my only family. I have a compassion for my dogs and cats and every living animal, but something horrific happened, and I cannot go to anyone, but because of what Human Society has done, it escalated from there. And if there's a caller, anyone, and who has compassion for animals such as I, think of your animal as part of the family, and destroy your body, mind, spiritually, emotionally, financially, in every way possible. I would like very much if you could call Carl and get my telephone number. I'm sure though my voice a bit different today to the flu, I would be so grateful if I could get some kind of assistance.
Okay, well, you can send me an email at carol@carolcox.com.
And I, whoever could assist me, I promise for whatever that I can do.
Okay.
Is that because English is my second language, and then it is a bureaucracy, a bit of bureaucracy.
Okay.
I don't know how to go about putting stop to this horrific thing that I have endured as well as others have endured.
Well, we'll try, so send me that email, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
I hope that some caller can help me.
Okay.
Because I'm not good at email and doing all that. Because I myself is an old lady. Thank you very
all right.
much.
Thank you.
And thank you for your show.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. Anyway, that's, again, I hear a great many of these stories like that. And yet, they still get the contracts. They lease the land that they're on, if I'm not mistaken, very cheap, maybe $1 a year or something like that for the acreage. And I don't know where to start, but this may be the final straw or something. But
I hope it is the final straw, because Elsbieta has suffered unnecessarily, and she deserves to have Rex back. And I know she will never rest until she does get Rex back.
So anything, and you're originally from Poland, and by the way, I was going to share so that we just, and the other caller, you're from Poland. You're also an author. You have a book, You Can't Outrun What's Within You, right?
Yes, but that I don't.
You have that book, right?
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully you'll be marketing it soon or again or...
I don't even think about the book right now. It's off the market. I don't sell it.
Okay. All righty. But that's that, and you're from Poland, and so how does it feel to be here and experiencing this?
I actually, the lady that just called, I feel exactly how she feels.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm trying to stay cool so I don't lose my mind,
mm-hmm.
the cry that she just did, it's what I've been doing when I'm home, when my husband hears me, and when I'm alone. And I understand that. And even though I feel I don't enjoy this doing all public, but I feel like it's going to help Rex, and it's going to help a lot of other people who've been through the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like this lady just mm-hmm. expressed herself.
Yeah. Well, Liz, anything in closing? We're down about 2 more minutes.
My comment is to Elzbieta. The caller just called in. You know, I heard that same thing in your voice during the Humane Society meeting when I was listening into that meeting that day. And that's what touched my heart, you know, that we need to do this, the right thing as a community, to come together and make sure that this sort of thing never happens to anyone, that the right thing is done, the dog is returned to the rightful owner, you know, go from there
mm-hmm.
and support the cause. Mm-hmm. Bring Rex home.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for joining us. And Joanne, anything in closing?
I hope this sheds some light on what their policies are, and hopefully, looking at this case, that they can write new policies for unique situations such as this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Pam, anything in closing, real quick?
You know, just that it's a travesty what has happened to Elzbieta. And like I said, it's really not an isolated incident on the part of the Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
We have a problem. We have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, all that I can say in this entire process, haven't seen it before, and this ugly side of the Humane Society pops up, and every occasion it's something different and more atrocious than the first act. The handling of evidence, I've watched them in the Montgomery case. They seem to have... You're from Poland, and you told me about it, and I've talked to other people that it's not the Gestapo, but the behavior. Share with us.
Yes, it feels like communism all over, conspiracy and everything. And
you feel helpless. They are the government,
yes,
because they're a contractor.
It's like my childhood all over or something. I'm being lied every moment by them, and pretty much they try to discourage me
and
from pursuing this.
And attack your character by saying the information you had given to Penny Ames was false.
Yes.
I mean, this has the makings of communism or worse, because we're in a democracy, and they're using our money to inflict injury on us as a people, as a taxpayer. In Poland, they don't...
They're trying to make me look bad when, even at that meeting, I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to ask anything. All I said was I want Rex back. I didn't want to speak bad about them. They didn't like us videotaping. I said, I'm not interested in painting human society here bad or anything.
They don't need any help painting themselves looking bad.
I don't need to do that. I didn't want to, but they gave me no choice to go public now. It's like...
Well, we're going to keep following this one. And Pam, thank you.
Thank you.
Liz and Joanne, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We hope to see you. And let's keep that Facebook going on. And we'll do another show and update. And even if we have to wait. But I think we got this one. There'll be positive results. So thank all of you all for listening and joining in. And I'll see you next week. Aloha.
Aloha.
The way that buck is struck, it's a low down dirty shame. That's why I got the blues. Got down in place and blues.
To the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show right here at KWAI Honolulu.